You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Let's talk about character, because your story isn't anything without it. On I Should Be Writing, episode 48, season 18. Hi there. Welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty, and I've been doing this for almost 17 years. My podcast anniversary is coming up very shortly. Very exciting. I've been finally taking my enjoyment of the summer and working on a number of different projects, and I'm discovering that it's hard to move from project to project for me. And I thought it would be because I wouldn't have any, like, I wouldn't be able to focus on them, but it's not the focus, it's the ideas. It's like I have ideas for certain projects and other projects, not so much. And it's getting hard for me to decide if I should just table the ones that I don't have the ideas for. But I'm working on a novella. I've got about, where am I in the novella? 3,800 words. I'm about at the end of Act 1. And I've got a pitch for a script I'm working on. I finished one project. I'll announce it when we get a little bit closer to releasing that. No, I'm not going to work in Hollywood. I'm not going to get your hopes up. This is a personal project. I've tried to write a short story. I have two beginnings. I don't like either of them. And I keep trying to tell myself that there really aren't lost, like, wasted words. You're just, sometimes you gotta work through the crap to get to good stories. So I'm reminding myself of that. And I do like what I'm doing with my novella. A couple of my ideas are tropey, and I need to make sure I give them a fresh look. Although I do have a friend yelling at me in all caps saying, there are no new stories, look at romance, just write, and if it's good, it'll be good. Which is, you know, she's got a point. And that's not a dig at romance. It's just, you know, most stories we've heard before, we just want to hear them in new ways. I think the biggest thing for me is I've had a couple of good weeks and a couple of bad weeks on just this summer. Last week was a really bad week. It was one of those, I had my birthday, turned 49. That was exciting. Had a nice time. Actually, it wasn't exciting. It was chill because it's COVID and I don't do exciting things. I hang out at home with my family, who I like a lot. So it's not like it was a trial. Yeah, after that, everything went to hell. It was bad on a pet level. It was bad on a house level. It was bad on a personal health level. Everything's better now, but stuff kept going wrong last week. Anyway, I'm trying to say that I've had productive goals this summer, and some of them seem to be slipping. And one of them is recording a clean podcast for you while I record a more casual, chatty podcast when I do the live stream. And they have the same content, mostly, just one of them's going to be a little bit cleaner than the other one. However, this does put more work on me because I have to record twice. And I knew that would be a risk. And the first week was fine. The second week, not so much. So I'm behind. So I'm going to be doing three podcasts today. The beginnings of the podcast may sound a little repetitive, and I may shorten the next two. I think that was a really, really long tangent to tell you. I don't have the updates of Team Rejection. We're at about 260, I believe. I will get that better number for you in the future. But I am still keeping track. So please, if you get rejected and you want to talk and you want to add to the pile, send it to me, because rejection is a sign that you're a working writer. If you're not getting rejected, you're not writing, unless you're John Scalzi, but he's an outlier. Good news for me, this week isn't last week. That's really it. I got some nice birthday presents. I'm enjoying some new computer games. I'm playing The Outer Wilds with my kid, one of us driving and one of us just watching and talking about it, because it's really a discovery game, not a game that requires a lot of ability, except for the actual flying of the spaceship, which I'm very bad at. And yeah, that's mostly it. It's flying the spaceship. It's hard. I'm in mostly good mood, I think, which is making me productive. Again, I'm working on FocusMate. I'll put that link in the show notes because I'm getting a lot out of it. I'm actually recording this during a FocusMate session with a friend of mine who's also recording. She's a book narrator. And I still am able to get distracted if I try really hard because, you know, they can't see my screen. I'm sitting here, but they don't know if I'm working or not. But knowing I have to get my butt in the chair at 8 o'clock and start work is really driving me well. So I'm going to continue to endorse without sponsorship FocusMate. If you want to join it, it's three sessions a week for free. So, sorry, I got interrupted by an important text. Anyway, FocusMate, good. It's still very beneficial to me. And I'm getting writing done. I may not like it all, but I'm getting writing done. And that is the goal, right? Right. So I wanted to talk today about characters. We're doing a Back to the Basics series, and we need to talk about characters. I feel weird doing this because I feel like I've talked about this recently, but I mean, I've been doing this for 17 years. So what's recent may not technically be recent, and you might be a new listener. So welcome if you are. And if you've heard this before, then, you know, go to the next podcast in your queue. I'm sure you have one. It feels trite to say that characters are the most important part of your story. And you know, people are going to disagree and people are going to say they start with setting or they start with a conflict or whatever. And how you go about doing it doesn't matter. But if you think about your favorite stories, the character is going to stand out to you. They're just going to. So when you're talking about your story to somebody, you want to start with the character, because everybody's got to have someone to root for or root against. I think it's actually easier to enjoy a story with a good character and not a lot of conflict than the other way around. Because if you have a whole bunch of explosions or arguments or firings, or I'm trying to add whatever drama is in your particular genre, if you don't care who it's happening to, it doesn't matter. So even if you've created the most interesting world in the world, I'm a writer, I can say things. Even if you've got the most interesting setting, interesting conflict, you've got twists, no one's going to care unless they care about the character. When you're describing your work, whether you're telling somebody what your book's about or you're pitching it to an agent or an editor, you want to start with a character. And, you know, the elevator pitch tends to go, this character wants something but can't have it. Something stands in their way, and they're going to have to do something to fix it. I mean, gosh, take The Fifth Season by N.K. Jemisin. Aesun wants to find her daughter. That is her goal. It's like, if you think about the epic scale of that story, she wants to find her daughter. And she can't because her husband and the shattering of the continent stand in her way. And she has to help keep people alive with her special power while she looks for her daughter. And as the series goes on, different things stand in her way to get to her daughter. So it gets more and more interesting. And, you know, you can, not Esun, you say a woman with a powerful magic ability that causes her people to be enslaved and is now hiding, free and hiding, loses her daughter. And I get it. I have done the writing the story from starting with a conflict or starting with a scene or thinking a setting's really cool, but none of it matters until you put somebody in there. So who is your character? They need to want something. And I know this is getting to be up there with show don't tell, but the thing is, if your character doesn't want something, it doesn't push the story forward. Because what are they doing? They're not trying to do anything. They're not trying to further their stories. And they don't always have to want the specific thing that is their main want. I mean, Esun does an awful lot of things that have nothing to do with her daughter because of different wants. And even if you have people sitting around talking, one person has to want information. And if it's boring, perhaps people don't want something enough. There's not enough want there. So they have to want something. They need to have a flaw, and this is where I often stumble. I need a couple of tries to make a character who's interesting but also flawed. I'm too nice, really. I'll just say it. I wish I weren't. And the flaws can be hubris, or it can be selfishness, or it can be rudeness and talking over somebody all the time. It can be impulsivity. It doesn't always have to be something super negative. It can be a quirk of the personality that causes negative things to happen, if that makes sense. It doesn't have to be anything malicious. Like, you don't have to make your hero a jerk to give them a flaw. You know, Han Solo doesn't want to take responsibility for anything. But he's charming, he's exciting, he's funny, but he doesn't want to take responsibility. He wants nothing on his shoulders. When you think about your characters, you also want to think about their backstory. And this is also something I have trouble doing. So really, I'm talking to myself, not you. Backstories are key because they build your character. They build a person's character. They built your character. So the person you're writing about needs to have a backstory, needs to have triumphs, needs to have heartbreak, needs to have disappointments, needs to have betrayal. And betrayal can be your parent promised you something and didn't follow through. But all of those things and how the character responded to those things builds who the character is now. One of the things that fascinates me so much is a lot of people, especially goal setters and self-help books, talk about the marshmallow test, the famous marshmallow test where they took a bunch of toddlers or four-year-olds or very young children and put them in the room and said, put them in front of a marshmallow and said, if you can eat this now, or if you wait 5 minutes, I'll give you two marshmallows. And then they went on to say that the kids who waited for the marshmallows, they went further in life. They were more successful. But they don't talk about the kids themselves. If the kid was in a living situation where they did not trust the adults, like if they'd been disappointed too many times, how do they know they're getting two? Why should they trust you that they're getting two? They'll take what they can get now. It's possible that they have been hungry before. And I mean like poverty hungry. And when you're poverty hungry, you take the food you can get. You take you don't wait. You don't take a chance. What the scientists were really asking the kids to do was take a chance. And some of the kids did not want to, either because of poverty or untrustworthy household. And I'm not even talking about abuse. I'm just talking about you learn whether you can trust someone to follow through on what they say. And that, you know, and still listening to self-help books now, they're like, if I tell you I'm going to give you $100 now or $200 next year, why would you take it now? It's 100% return, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, do you know how many people live paycheck to paycheck? They don't know what they're going to be doing in a year. If they have debt and or they need to go grocery shopping or something, they're going to take the 100 now. That is, it's like they're speaking from a position of privilege. Because what they're really saying is, you don't need the $100. You want the $100. And if you want the $100 and don't need it, you can wait. If you're disciplined, if you're a goal setter. It's kind of a classist attitude, really. I'm trying to tell you a big tangent today. Sorry. If that's what I mean by betrayal. That's what I mean by hunger or something. If your character experienced something like that as a child, what does that say about them? But just remember, what it says about them includes their race, their class, their home situation, all that. When it comes to your non-protagonist characters, here's another thing that a lot of people have trouble with. They, even though it looks like it, because you have a protagonist in your book and everybody else is secondary, they're still the heroes of their own stories. They also have wants and needs. This is why sometimes we like stories told from different points of view, because we see how other people's wants and needs drive the same story we've already seen. I highly recommend watching The After Party on Apple TV. It is a very funny murder mystery show where every episode is the same story from a different character's point of view. And they put a couple of more fun layers on it. Like, everybody gets their own movie genre. So the first guy is coming back to his high school reunion, hoping to connect with a girl he could never confess his love to. And so he's got a rom-com. And then another guy is convinced that he has to get his wife back. And so he's got this manly action movie with a lot of fighting. So when you remember that every character's the main character of their story, their needs, their wants and needs may conflict with your character, and that's where interesting conflicts happen. I know that Joss Whedon is not the best person and wasn't the best person when Buffy and Angel were being filmed. Still, I consider Buffy one of the best ensemble casts, and I use it for character discussion because they were so well put together. If you look at a script of Buffy with all the names gone, you can probably figure out, if you're a fan of the series, you can figure out who's saying what. The voices are that distinct. And also, a lot of the conflict came from interpersonal conflict, just like high school. You know, Cordelia wanted, you know, she wanted to fight evil. She didn't want evil to win, but she really didn't like Buffy. And so she caused a lot of internal conflict. Willow's magic addiction. That caused a lot of conflict because what Willow wanted was more magic, not necessarily to help Buffy save the world. She did want to help Buffy save the world, but really her story was magic. Everybody's the hero of their own story. Let's move on to the antagonist because they are also the hero of their own story. Gone are the days where you could, your bad guy could twirl the mustache, yell that evil's cool, and bam, you've got a supervillain. You've got an antagonist. Antagonists, it's like, some people are just plain evil just to be evil. But even then, you have to give them a sense of, well, that's a psychopathic behavior. And so that's a character trait. But just, in the Tick animated series, there are people who are like that. But that's like, they're all very weird caricatures of supervillains. So you've got the Midnight Bomber, the Madman, the Midnight Bomber, what bombs at midnight and runs around yelling, bad is good, baby. I'm evil. Yeah, baby. So, but that is meant for amusement. He really has no desires or needs except to blow everything up. What makes a good antagonist is if your reader can identify with their needs. Maybe not say their needs are justified, but understand that the person's doing X because of Y. I get that. They're wrong. They shouldn't do it. They're selfish. Or they're being harmful. But I see why they're doing it. I remember this drives me frustrated, so frustrated, because I can't remember all of them, but I remember when I was in grad school, Nancy Holder said about a character to make them likable. There's a number of things you can do if you've got like a cranky character who's basically unlikable. People don't like unlikable characters, even though a lot of people write awesome stories with unlikable characters. I still like the book Geek Love by Karen Dunn, I think, or Catherine Dunn. Anyway, it's a book where there are no redeemable people. They're all terrible, but I liked it. But things you can do to make people likable, and that is, one is the obvious save the cat. It's the show them doing something nice for somebody, whether it's being kind to an animal or being kind to a person who's not your hero. And one of them is my favorite, which is the show them being good at something. When you have a character who's really, really good at something, that makes them interesting, which can at least make them someone to root for, even if your audience still doesn't technically like them. And I always forget the third thing. If anybody knows, if anybody from my grad school is listening, and you can remember, tell me, because I can't remember the third thing. But those are two still good. Those are still two good ones. And if you do this to your villain, then that will make your story richer. So your villain also needs to be similar enough to your hero. And I mean, in whatever ability you're pitting against them. If it's physical strength, if it's going to be a big fight, then the villain needs to be as powerful or a little bit more powerful than the hero. If it's a romance, then the romantic rival needs to be as charming or as beautiful or simply as intriguing as your heroine or hero. Intelligence, wit, all that needs to be... And it doesn't have to be a one-for-one. For example, if you've got a really, really clever, crafty villain, and they're not as good as the hero in, say, a spelling bee or a science fair. I don't know, for some reason I'm thinking of kids' competitions. But knows how to game the system enough to get what they want still. That's still as powerful or more powerful than your hero, just not necessarily in the same areas. Villains who are useless, that's not exciting. They have to be interesting and powerful, at least as much as your hero is. I'm going to go back to my favorite go-to book for character building, which is 45 Master Characters by Victoria Schmidt. It's a fantastic book that takes characters from film and literature and puts them into archetypes. But taking all of those characters and putting them into archetypes is what helps me understand, because a lot of the characters are on the surface different. For example, there's the character the Fool, who is happy-go-lucky and always young-ish and doesn't want to take on responsibility and is delightful, but definitely doesn't want to grow up. And then when you're talking about the show Friends, you'd think that would be Chandler because he's the goofball. But no. Chandler falls into the ladies' man category because he has very strong connections and friendships with women. And little things like that make everything deeper. The one problem I have with the book is it's very heterosexual focused and binary gender focused. So I think it needs an update to say... Because, you know, it talks about which two male and female archetypes make interesting romances, for example. And that's not... It's still a little stark, but it... Or rather, it's basic. However, if you're starting out, basic is a good place to start. So I'm going to stop here. There are excellent other excellent things out there for characters. I didn't even get into the subject of writing the other, which I probably should. I will update here at the end. Writing the Other is an excellent website that has
a lot of essays and resources for writing people who are not like yourself. And it goes beyond racial, because it goes into different sexualities, goes into different body types. There's how, you know, writing fat people. There's information on writing disabled people. And if you want, first, you should have people in the story who are not like yourself, because if you look at the world, there are people out there who are not like you. They fit into stories. And frankly, it's more interesting when everybody is not the same. So that is, check out Writing the Other. It's very important. It's an excellent source, and they do a lot of classes as well. And while the classes, you do pay for the classes, they will often talk to people about scholarships, or if you can't pay for it, talk to them and you could maybe get some help. They do very important work. So if you would like to support the podcast, you can support me at patreon.com/mightymer. There you can get the entire archives, all 17 years of I Should Be Writing. You can get access to our Fabulist-only Discord, which is a lot of fun and really, really good supportive people. And you can get some other perks too, but those are the two that people seem to be most excited about. You can get books from me. You can get a character named after you. There are lots of different levels. You can join our Kick in the Pants workshop, where I send you a prompt and you have a little bit of time to write, and then we show up at the workshop and talk about it. Lots of things available there. You can also support me on Twitch, where I live stream 4 days a week, twitch.tv/mightymer. You can watch the live stream of this show. I live stream this show to a live audience Tuesday, Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And if you want to see the blog and show notes and sign up for my newsletter and all that stuff and pre-order Station Eternity, which I probably should be talking about more, that's merverse.com. If you are a Hugo voter, I ask that you consider Escape Pod for semi-prozine and consider Divya, SB Divya, and myself for Best Editor Short Form. That voting ends soon, so anytime you can peek at it, that would be great. And I'll see you next time, which will be for me in a couple of minutes. But for you, it'll be a couple of days. Magic of recording. But until then, you should be writing.
Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymer. I Should Be Writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license.